Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this morning's live radio broadcast here on the Omega Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. You're listening to The Watchman. Let us praise the Lord together this morning and cheer on our God. We are created to worship Him and to cheer Him on for the great things that He has done, what He is doing, and what He is yet to do, and all of His wonderful promises. That's the way we want to start our broadcast today. And we've got a full day today. I've got 1 hour to get a lot of information out, and I want to make sure that we understand, because today, really, I don't want to do what I'm about to do, but I'm being led in that direction. I'm kind of pulled because I'm experiencing what is known as the double-sided day. And every broadcast, we begin with that music, the rise and shine, for your light has come. And it's all about a day of light and a day of darkness, glorious light and gross darkness. And we are drawing the line by the Spirit of God, splitting this day right down the middle. And everyone has to make a decision. What side of the day are you on? And so I'm going to begin with a report about the Super Bowl. Now, you know, I don't talk sports too much, and I don't really go into these things, but I thought it was interesting because of what I'd been sharing for the last, I don't know how long it's been, maybe a year or so, that we're moving into the year 5778. In the month of March, we're going to come to the first day of the new year, which is 5778 in the Hebrew calendar. And that the meaning of that number, 5778 in the Hebrew concordance, means to get under the wing. It talks about getting under the eagle's wing and getting under the covering. It's a Psalm 91 year. And I thought it was interesting that the Eagles won the Super Bowl over the Patriots last night. And again, there's a lot of surmising, and I want to be very careful about that. But I did think it was interesting. And the glorious part of, you know, the patriotic movement that we're seeing move right now. God spoke in a prophetic word years ago and said that He was going to flush the patriotism out because it was really still an offense to Him. Not all patriots have the mind of Christ. I think you understand what I'm saying there. But here's the good news about the Eagles' victory yesterday. And that is that Doug Peterson, the head coach of freshly crowned Super Bowl champions, the Philadelphia Eagles, gave glory to God in his reaction to the historic victory. Here's what he said. This is the head coach now of the Philadelphia Eagles. He said, "I can only give the praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving me this opportunity. And I'm going to tell you something. I've got the best players in the world, and it's a resilient group, Peterson said in a post-game interview, according to Philly.com on Sunday. So he said, I love this coaching staff, Mr. Jeffrey Lurie, the owner. And not only do we have the best fans in the world, we now have the best team in the world. Thank you, guys. That was the end of his quote. Well, the Eagles' 41-33 victory over the New England Patriots marked their first ever Super Bowl. Listen to this. The first ever Super Bowl title at the U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, Minnesota, having previously lost title games in 1981 and 2005. So Eagles quarterback Nick Foles, who was named the game's most valuable player, saw God's hand in his path to the final. Commentators who spoke with him said, Tony Dungy, former head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and of the Indianapolis Colts, said in a post-game interview, according to NBC Sports, Nick Foles told me last week in Philadelphia he thought the Lord had him here for just this time. He knows this is Carson Wentz's team, but he was ready to go tonight, and he played like a champion. Foles wept tears of joy when discussing the team's victory, holding on to his daughter Lily. All glory to God. Lily really likes this mic. She has no idea, the MVP said. So praising his Eagles teammates and coaching staff, he added, to be here with my daughter, my wife, my teammates, this city, we're very blessed. Foles has not kept his Christian faith a secret, describing himself on Twitter as a believer in Jesus Christ, husband, father, son, brother. The 29-year-old star athlete has said in the past that after his football career comes to an end, he is thinking of becoming a pastor. So I want to be a pastor in a high school, Foles said at a news conference ahead of the Super Bowl. It's on my heart. I took a leap of faith last year and signed up to take classes at seminary. I wanted to continue to learn and challenge my faith. It's a challenge because you are writing papers that are biblically correct. You want to impact people's hearts, he said. And Foles explained that high school is a very challenging time for young men and young women. He said, so much temptation in this world, so much going on with social media and the internet, that you want to talk to them and address it and share all the weaknesses I have because I've fallen many times, he stated. It's something I want to do. I can't play football forever. I've been blessed with an amazing platform, and it's just a door God has opened, but I still have a lot of school left and a long journey. Others, such as Eagles punter Donnie Jones, also placed their faith in God in the run-up to the major event. He said, I always know that he's going to be there. He's going to take care of you, Jones, who attended a Catholic high school in Baton Rouge, said of God. So that's kind of been the way of my career. I've moved around with five teams. When I didn't know things were going to work out, he always put me in the right spot. You've got to have faith, believe, he added. And so this is a victory. I got to watch the last quarter of the game last night, and was sent this article this morning, and I knew that the quarterback and the head coach were born again, and they were not hiding their faith. And so the Eagles win. Is there somewhat of a prophetic picture, especially as we move into the year 57-78? Get under the wing. Read Psalm 91. And I want to ask you another question. Did you hear about the train crash yesterday morning early in South Carolina? Do you know what the number of that train was? It was 91. It was the train 91. There were over 100 and some odd passengers. A lot of people were injured, shaken up, battered, but there were two deaths. And when you have a freight train colliding with a commuter train, there could have been a lot more damage. But I just thought it was interesting. 91 showed up again. So whatever that all means, here's just the simple facts that we have the Philadelphia Eagles for the first time in the history of the franchise being Super Bowl champions under the head leadership of the head coach, who's a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, and a quarterback that loved Jesus Christ enough to proclaim his name out loud and is becoming a pastor. I think it's noteworthy to say that, again, the day of the Lord is a day of glorious light and gross darkness. It's good to see victories, and shout out for a team that is honoring and serving the Lord. Whether or not God is in sports is another question. I don't want to get into that today. However, I need to flip the coin now. I've got to flip the coin for just a little bit. You know that we have been broadcasting for the last several months about God is revving up his engine. He's wanting to accelerate his people to become most effective in the world in which we live. He may have revved up the entire Philadelphia football team to get a platform to bring some meaning to the times that we're in. We'll see. But I know that God has a plan and purpose for you and myself and for his people all over the world. He's ready to accelerate, speed things up. He's going to energize and do all the things that we've been talking about. If you have not understood what I'm saying, you should go back 3 months and you should start listening to every blog talk radio program that we've done at least 3 months ago, and you're going to hear a consistent theme. And by the way, you could go to blogtalkradio.com and /X-Man777. Let me say that again. Blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com /X-Man777. And you'll see a whole list of over, gosh, 1,000 different radio broadcasts. But you want to deal with the last 3 months, and you're going to see a prophetic, very profound picture of what God has been saying. But it's only on one side of the day. What God's ready to do in the church is not what's going on in the world. And I want to talk just a little bit. Give me some time here. We'll open the lines. We'll bring in some conversation. But these are the things that I believe that God is saying and warning our nation about. So sit back, close your eyes, take notes, read your Bible, get scriptures, do whatever it is God tells you to do. But I believe that these are the words of the Lord that need to be clearly understood in this time. And what really sparked this, I'll tell you what sparked this conversation. I was up all night. I was printing out, a few hundred pages of prophetic things that we had written over the years. And I didn't get to bed till around 7:45 this morning. And I got about, just less than an hour of sleep. But I woke to a friend of mine, Brother Don Huddle, who sent me a text about the market was continuing to slide another 200 points. And Don will be most likely joining us here in just a little bit. And so it sparked a memory in me. So I pulled out some of these messages that I had written. These go as far back again as what we've been seeing is older words manifesting in the here and now. This is titled, "Be Not Deceived. God is Not Mocked. What you sow, you will reap. America has sown the wind and is now in the process of reaping the whirlwind, poised and ready. It is a dark and cloudy day for the nations of the earth, who know not my name. It is a day of deep darkness, even a gross darkness, that is coming upon the unrepentant nations. The seat of the beast is being consumed with this darkness, and his own shall writhe to and fro with sores and great pain, even the gnashing of teeth and the gnawing of tongues." You know, and I think about all the stuff that's going on in the political arena, FBI, CIA, the FISA memo, all these dossiers and all these different things that are exposing, the skirts are being lifted, and, you know, you're beginning to see some of that happening. "I will shake the earth with a mighty quake." I woke up this morning, opened my Bible, underlined on the right side of my Bible in one of the Gospels was the earthquake. So again, "I will shake the earth with a mighty quake. Even the heavens shall be shaken of the principalities and powers that have set themselves against me." And of course, this is Jesus that is, you know, the spirit of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. He said, storms. "Mighty floods will sweep the nation at unexpected times. I will do a marvelous thing before the eyes of the mockers and those who scoff at my judgment. I will shake the foundation of sand and cause those who have built upon it to fall into the sea. I have warned, I have cried, I have shouted from the rooftops. Strange spirits unknown to most will arise in the earth, spirits of confusion and chaos. Strange things will begin to take place as brother betrays brother and friends become enemies. Wrong thoughts and ideas will be built up in the minds of those who love me not. They will come into agreement with the spirit of accusation and will begin to condemn what I have blessed. Their condemnation will not prosper, but will fall upon their own heads. Their words will dig a pit that they themselves will fall into. Man has not seen the force of my power against sin. I have lightly dealt with the sins of America. I have lightly dealt with the nation, but now I will deal with mighty blows. I spoke to America and her leaders and revealed to her that her light was going out. I spoke, but she would not hear. I spoke to America and told her that her financial prosperity was going to collapse, but she would not listen. I told America that her time of storms had come, but she would not listen. I spoke to America concerning the foundation she has built herself upon and revealed to her that the foundation of truth had been exchanged for another foundation. I said that I am the only foundation upon which a man or nation can build his house and survive during the times of the storm. But America has replaced the foundation of truth and is built upon the foundation of nations that have not prospered. I showed America the removal of my law, but she did not respond. She was like a drunken man attempting to arise from her drunkenness. It is too late. The line has been crossed, and every attempt to keep things quiet and safe will not succeed. I warn the prophets of America this day that if you will not speak truth to the nation, you shall be embarrassed and put to open shame. I will lift your skirts and reveal your nakedness. I warn the prophets to stop speaking blessings to what I have cursed. Your words have gone unfulfilled, and they will continue to do so. Every word of blessing you speak over America, I will send double the judgment. I am dismantling this nation for my own purpose, even the purpose of having my righteousness established in the earth. I will judge until the nation has bowed the last knee. Many false prophets have prophesied lies concerning God's blessing upon the nation. They have erred in their hearts and have blessed what God has cursed. The blessing has been upon the obedient nation, which according to Scripture is you, the holy nation, the royal priesthood, God's people. Hear the rumblings of my heart. Know that I have loved you, my faithful witnesses, with an everlasting love. I bless you who have not denied my name, that have not given up the hope, and who have not received the mark of the beast. I bless you and tell you that you will not be harmed when the terrible pressures surmount. Even now, pressure is settling upon the nation. Many times you will hear the roars of a dying nation, like the lion in the field whose day has come. So America lies like a lion poised to defend, but she has not known that I have become her enemy. It is I, the Lord God, who has judged. The beasts of the field begin to swarm. The tails of serpents rattle. Beware, for the darkness is now blinding many minds from the truth. My church I will care for at this time. I will defend my people around the world. I will give her peace and rest. I will call her forth from her caves and dens of the earth. I will feed her in the wilderness, for my sons are coming, they who have grown to full stature before me. They are coming, mighty, swift, and undaunted by the works of the enemy. A special caution and warning is going forth at this time to all Americans. The message is this: get ready, your hour of visitation has come. Get out of debt, for everything you possess will be taken from you if you do not own it. This is a suddenly moment that will occur as the 1929 crash. In one day, the nation was hit hard. Now the nation will collapse. The Laodicean Christians will be very surprised as all they have fought to possess will be suddenly removed. The banks own your homes, your cars, and so much more. What will you do when the banks raise the interest rates? What will you do when other currencies are accepted to buy oil? What will you do when you are forced to the streets and foreigners take possession of what was once yours? What will you do? There is one way to avert the judgment that is ready to fall upon the nation, and that is repentance. The nation must turn to Jesus Christ in order to survive. However, the nation will not repent. So the final phase of bringing those who are appointed and ordained to life are being brought in through the final harvest call. This too will happen rapidly, as it is the 11th hour. The desolation of America. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. God said, "I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye," said Jesus, "that I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you, no, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Luke 12:49-53. America once dwelt at peace, but peace will be found no more. The inhabitants of America have been and will continue to live their day-to-day lives in fear, chaos, and confusion. Their best efforts to stabilize themselves with a false peace will be met with terrible disaster that will open their eyes to the reality of their eternal condition. And I wondered as I was looking at this, you know, what is this that is happening, this grand illusion? You know, there was a song that was out one time, Welcome to the Grand Illusion, the illusion that everything is okay, the illusion that, you know, restoration is on the way, the illusion that God has winked at 50 years of rebellion, the illusion that God has just turned away and doesn't mind anymore about the 80 million abortions and the 500 million sponsored by American taxpayer dollars around the world, the illusion that God is okay with homosexuals marrying and lesbians marrying and transgenders and pornography running rampant throughout the nation. Corruption in the church. And we act as though because this moment we have Donald Trump as the president that God has just swept everything under the carpet. It doesn't matter anymore because patriotism is the answer. Well, I've got news for everybody. Patriotism is not the answer to the problems of America. You know that, and I know that. So the best efforts to stabilize themselves with a false peace will be met with terrible disaster that will open their eyes to the reality of their eternal condition. No rest shall be found as each day brings forth new problems. Problem solving will take on a new meaning in these days, and the prognosticators and soothsayers of this day will be blinded by the darkness that has descended upon the nations. All the yoga and meditation in the world will not ease the pain. America has opened the door to foreign gods, and a spirit of delusion has swept through the land. Those who have any light at all have faintly seen through the smoke and mirrors of the great deception being perpetrated upon the minds of the American population and around the world. The cry has gone forth to wake up, but many cannot and are sick in the bed of affliction. The pharmaceutical drug companies have sold a greater delusion to the American population as prescription drug sales mount to the billions of dollars each year so the minds of the people can rest from the demonic activity taking place within them. The medical and psychological institutions have told the people that their problems are bipolar and psychological alone. They told them that their problems can be coped with by taking these drugs, which are enslaving their souls. Truly, America has become a haunt of demons and a cage of every unclean thing. Many are being trapped and will not escape the destruction. People are trying everything to have a moment's rest or a peaceful day, but these things cannot be found. America's enemies are everywhere, and the people have been so dumbed down that they do not know it. The inhabitants of America have been given their hope and trust to the governmental powers and military might of America. Oh, what has happened to you, O inhabitants of the mighty United States? Once your eyes were upon God, once your eyes were open and visions filled your hearts with beautiful dreams, now your dreams have become nightmares and all your thoughts are motivated by lying devils and unclean imaginations. Truly, the American population has drunk the dregs of the cup and is mad. For it is written, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he pours out the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and stargazers and monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from these things that shall come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. This is Isaiah chapter 47, verses 12 to 14. The children of America have gone into captivity before the enemy. Drugs, sex, crime, abortion, self-mutilation, violence, rebellion, and a host of other spirits have consumed millions of American children. The movie industry has bombarded the minds of the youth and has caused their spirits to bow before the gods of falsehood and destruction. Homosexual movies, witchcraft movies, violent movies have led the misguided into a heartbreaking destruction. And what do the lawmakers and political leaders do about the movie industry, the music industry, and the sex industry? Nothing. And the scripture says, caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. 2 Kings 17:17. All of America's beauty is departed. The once glorious land of the free has turned into a corruptible sea of filth and degradation. The once glorious cup in the Lord's hand has given itself to harlotry, and like her older sister has become twice the child of hell. The once illustrious nation has received her message from the Lord. Ichabod, the glory has departed. For those who have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand, they know and have seen the writing on the wall. And it is written. And this is the writing that was written. Many, many, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided, America, and given to the Medes and Persians, the Islamic reality of our day. We've never been more divided. The governors and kings shall fall before their pursuers. Here is a word from some time ago. Kings and governors, beware. In Acts chapter 12, verse 21 and 22, it says this, that upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not glory to God. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Well, there comes a time, O kings of the earth and governors, that you too shall be judged as in a moment. I have heard your fair speeches in the public forums and have watched your hearts. Truly, I have sent my angels to watch, and they have been commissioned to strike as in a moment with ferocity those who choose not to give glory to me. Yes, a set day, an appointed time is near to come to all kings and governors who will not bow their knees to me and give to me what is rightfully mine. You dishonor me when you pass laws contrary to mine. You take the glory unto yourselves when you approve what I have disapproved, and when you qualify as good what I have utterly condemned. I have warned, but you would not listen. Know this day that your set day is near. You know not that all things are in my hands. You know not because you have fallen to the powers of darkness and have become blind leaders of the blind. But I am not blind. I see your core. I see your attitude, agenda, and motive. You have become respecters of men and not me, and I will judge. On a day when you least expect, yes, even during your finest speeches, suddenly I will strike and you shall die. You have taken unto yourselves the robes of human royalty and have thought yourselves to be of utmost importance in the eyes of men, but you are not in my eyes. I have allowed you to rule in the nations and among the people, but you have sought gain and control. You have lost your footing and are about to slip into the darkest places man has ever known. Think not that you shall join your fathers in the tombs as though a job well done has been performed. For you know not that your fathers are murderers and liars, each one. You have been served from the line, severed from the line of justice, and have become a lineage of bastards. Dress yourself with human royalty, but you shall never know mine. Take heed, governors and kings. You have been weighed in the balance and have been found lacking. You lack the genuine presence of the Most High God. Your fair speeches may sound like the voice of a god to the people, but to me they are blasphemous. I see behind your words. I see your agendas. I see what motivates you, even greed and desire to make merchandise of the people. You are the blind guides who are leading the blind people into a horrible ditch. I will smite you while seated upon your high thrones. I will take your pomp and power and smash it to the ground. Your bowels will gush from in your bodies, even as Judas, who betrayed me in the days of his flesh. Your speeches are egocentric. Your speeches are devoid of my glory. Your speeches represent your ways and not mine. Your words shall fall to the ground. Your word shall not stand. I will blow upon them with the strength of my might and cause them to vanish away in the wind. My breath shall consume your words, and they shall be burned up in the fire of my wrath. You are entering into a long season of speech making, and I warn you now that every speech that does not glorify me shall be met with disaster. I have long stood by and listened to the plots and plans and schemes of darkness. Who is my angel? Who is my messenger? I have watchers about the earth who are watching the ways of men. I have given commission, and the sword is drawn. You see not that you have offended the Most High God. You leaders of America, especially those on the West, have opened the door of abomination, and the flood of justice shall flow through. My rage will not be tamed. A fire has been kindled, and it will not go out, for a devouring fire shall burn beyond the control of men, and the damage shall be great. Boy, it looks like we just saw that happen. You know not my heart, for if you did, you would know that it is grieved. You see not my heart, for if you did, you would see the pulsating passion that has been stirred against you. I have not forgotten what you have done to the innocent ones. I have not lost sight of your many sins. I have not been dumbed down by your flattery and fair speeches. I have not turned a deaf ear to your many hard speeches against me. I have heard the mocking. I have heard the scoffing. Like the king who sat upon his throne and was suddenly destroyed by my angel, so now many kings shall lose their lives in a moment. You will think that the hijacking of several planes was a small thing when you behold with your eyes what I'm about to do. One governor after another will come down. One leader after another will fall to the ground. One pompous vain talker after another shall be exposed and cast down into the eternal fires of hell. You will think that the assassination of men is occurring, but you will see that it is I, the Lord God Almighty, who has sent my angels with unsheathed swords to strike at the heart of kings and governors. I will silence the agendas of evil. My heart is stirred and it cannot rest. My wrath is churned, for I am angry. Watch and see if the worms do not eat the flesh of kings. Look again to what I have said, for it is I written that their worms shall never die. Because you gave not glory to God, leaders of America, because you gave me not the glory when you legalized the abomination of homosexuality and all kinds of perverse engagements, I will smite you, each and every one, even those who have left their posts already. Leaders of America, because you legalized the mass murder of over 80 million innocent ones, it was 50 million at the time of the writing, I will smite you, each and every one, even those who have left their posts already. Leaders of America, because you practice witchcraft in your secret places, I will smite you, each and every one, even those who have left their posts already. You have opened the door to my wrath, and now will it come with fury. Why has all this come upon America? America has grievously sinned. Therefore, she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yes, she sighs and turns backward. My day of justice is near upon the nations of the earth, but now I will speak to my beloved. I know you. I know your heart, your willingness, and your courage. I have seen you weather the storms, and I have heard you call upon my name. Now I say to you, call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you know us not. Yes, a great season of unfolding and revelation is coming to my elect. That's what's happening recently. Their eyes shall see and behold wonderful things in the midst of destruction and devastation, even as my servant Stephen saw when his life was being taken from him. It says in Acts 7:54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. As in a moment, the nations shall collapse. As in a moment, the travail shall go forth. As in a moment, the islands will hear the cry of a great nation falling to the ground. The nation who sat upon a throne shall be cast under the earth, and there become slaves to their enemies. You will have never imagined the judgment that is coming upon you, America. You would not listen to the cries of the prophets who warned you of these days, but turned your ear from hearing. So now you hear the cries of your enemies within your gates, gnashing their teeth against you. You would have never considered that your greatest enemies are already within your borders. You have surrounded yourselves from all incoming dangers, but have not known that you have been decaying from within. Your churches are full of vomit. Your altars are cast to the ground. No more do the hungry and repentant come with brokenness to your altars, for they are gone. I am doing it, says the Lord. It is I who have called you to this day of judgment. I have sent your enemies into your gates because you would not hear the voice of truth. You have been misled and misguided by vain visions and prophecies that did not produce within you a repentant spirit or a grieving for your sins. Oh, America, land that I love, you have become like your older sister. Your gold has become dim, and your eyes, like the prophet of old, cannot see. You have lost your vision and have believed a lie, and now there is none to comfort you. I say that you will look for a friend, but a friend shall not be found. Your leaders will surely sit in the dust, pouring dust upon their heads for the destruction that has come upon you. It is my fury and my wrath that is being poured out upon you, America. Not the will of the enemy as you think it to be in your carnal thinking, but my justice and scepter of truth have been unsheathed and are sent forth into your land to devour, cause famine, sickness, disease to consume you. You have heard the voice of outrage within your borders. It is because the plan is set and it will not be denied. I have sent blindness to your eyes and deterioration to your intelligence. You shall not see or know what I am about to allow coming within your borders. You have chased the wind and have not seen the fire. You have chased the fire but did not see the wrath of the Lord of all nations. A great lament is heard in your streets, and soon the cry of it shall be loud throughout the earth. You have within your borders many enemies that will rejoice at the desolation. Yet I say these who rejoice shall go away into everlasting destruction. Their worm shall never die. I am a jealous God, and I have called you to be my special people, but you would not. Tennessee will experience devastation with its borders. I will silence your Christian status quo. I will put to silence your foolishness. I will cause your songs to be turned into mourning because you have played the harlot. Think not that you are safe in America, for there shall be no safe place besides the ark of my covenant. I am not a respecter of Jews or Greeks or bond or free, for I am Almighty God. After the judgment shall come forth a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The prophets who have lied in my name and have sought personal gain shall weep the loudest in these days. Those churches who competed for numbers shall groan for the loss of all. My elect, my chosen, my love, my dove, my fair one, in whom is all my delight, you are not hidden from me, but for a time I have been hidden from you. Yet I have seen you and have caused a deeper hunger to stir in your affections for me. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with great joy and singing have I rejoiced over you. I say unto you who fear my name, fear nothing that the world will undergo. Set back, stand out of the way, or you will most certainly receive the wages I have sent. These are not the days of Moses. Your intercession will not be heard, for you have not prayed the right prayers, for you have been blinded by falsehood, but no more. So these are things that I believe are relevant to the moment that we're living in. And yet I would finish this thought with one final word, and this is to the elect of God. The man of victory is arising in the earth. I have longed for a people who would be united in perfection since the onset of my church. I have looked for a people whose love would transcend all earthly and temporal satisfaction, who would willingly depart from the ways of a fallen creature and accept the new nature that I have placed within them and live out from it. I have sown my seed into the earthen vessels of humanity and have long waited for the harvest of righteousness to fill the earth. Understand my heart today. I am looking for quality, not quantity. I have all things. I need nothing in the concept of abundance. The earth is mine and the fullness thereof. Yet what I long for is a people who have been created in my image and likeness to come forth in all the glorious realities of the second man from heaven. My heart is to fellowship with those I have formed a relationship with, yet not the fellowship of a father and a child, but as a father with his son, male and female. I am mustering up the man of war, the man of victory in this day. This man will have success, victory, conquest, and triumph in all his doings. This is the man that I have determined to refresh in this season. He is the man from above. He is the man of complete and perfect deliverance. He is the man who is the overcomer. He is the militant, triumphant church in the earth, dominating all forces of evil, gaining the victory in every contest. In the spirit, this man is seen as my beloved bride, For I am the head of this man. I am the covering, the masculine, the Adam of his existence. In the earth, this man is the head over the old Adam race. In the earth, this man is the dominant force. In the earth, all creation submits and yields. In the earth, all men see this man as the blessed and prosperous one. Yes, all creation is watching to see this man of victory come to power. For this man is the manifestation of the sons of God, who have been prepared before the foundations of the world, that in due season would come forth and deliver the creation from the bondage of corruption. Who then is this man of victory? It is the body of my love coming forth as a perfect whole, in whom I am in the midst thereof. This man is being revealed out of heaven. He is coming out of obscurity and is being revealed in Mount Zion. This man is alive in the earth today. He has come to the appointed time wherein all things are being summed up. This man lives in the acceptable year, the year and day of vengeance. He lives in the season of the twinkling of an eye. He is in the earth being joined together. Mighty deliverance has been accomplished in him. This man has yielded to all of my purposes and has crucified all internal resistance against my spirit. This man carries a cross, not on a banner, but in his heart. All of his own emotions, thoughts, desires, and will have been put on the cross, and I have poured into him all of my thoughts, desires, emotions, and will. He lives and moves by every breath from my mouth. He is led, guided, and directed perfectly in all situations. All things prosper in his presence. He is the man of victory that is ordained to slay the dragon in the sea. He is the one to whom Leviathan shall bow. He is most glorious, beautiful, shining with the light of my glory. He is a reflector of all my love and strength. Now I speak to this man, and I say it is time to arise. For the daughters of Jerusalem have not stirred thee before the time, for the time is now. Arise, my man of victory, for I am sending the rains to your land. The preparation time is through. The time to arise in the earth has come to be my ministers, my priests. The time has come to offer the incense of your prayers and to be honored in the earth. My priests shall have no shame. They shall shine as the brightness of the noonday and will have overcome every plot and strategy of the evil one to blemish them and put spots upon them. Yet I say that this man of victory that is alive this day has no spot. No blemish can be found in him. His strength is superior to Samson in his greatest day, yet without the blemish. He has the faith of Abraham, my friend, yet without the blemish. He has the wisdom of Solomon, yet without the blemish. He has the anointing of David, yet without the blemish. He is the man sent from heaven, whose head is the Christ. He is the fullness of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak to him. He is in you. And the voice of the Father says to arise. Come forth, man of victory. Tread upon the scorpions. Tread upon the serpents. Tread upon the head of all the power of the enemy. Come forth and do what I have ordained you to do in this day. It is the third day. It is the seventh day. It is the day of redemption. It is the day of reformation. It is the day of the Lord. Arise, mighty man of war. Rise and take the dominion. Take the kingdom. Sit up. Take your seat. Rule and reign. Your time being spent on the backside of the mountain is through. It is time for your appearing. Surely you will hear my voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. These are the words for Monday morning, February 5th, 2018. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the Lord is speaking to our generation. I believe he's revealing what's going on in the earth. It's 9:42. I'm sorry I took so long. I really believe God wanted those words out in the open. The lines are open, 818-369-0326. Once again, 818-369-0326. If you would like to call in and join me in the rest of the broadcast, we've got a good 18 minutes left or so. And then, of course, Patricia Joy will be joining us at the top of the hour, 818-369-0326. I'll be waiting for your call. Remember to press 1 on your dial pad, and maybe you have something very important to share about this moment. And maybe you have something to, a question or you'd like to ask, whatever may be in your heart to share. We always give opportunity for that. America is wakening to the reality that its grand illusion is coming to an end. The slow, methodical undoing of the nation has been in motion since 2003, when America crossed the line and was never to return again. Awake, awake, the time is near for the total collapse. Are you ready? Are you prepared? It is a double-sided day, and now is the time to make sure that you are living in the light side of the day. For the darkness shall descend as a deep and gross darkness when no man will be able to work. So labor now to enter into his rest and find your way into the secret place of the Most High and enter into your chambers and shut the door until the indignation be overpassed. And I would like to bring in our first phone call today, Pastor Ken Wagner calling in. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Well, good morning, Pastor. I'm blessed as usual. Praise the Lord. He's a good God. You know, Pastor, I'm listening to you, and I can't help but think of what God is beginning to do with his sons and daughters that are ready, that are listening to the words that you're speaking forth. And even symbolically, like in my dreams now, in the past couple of nights, it's been dreams of him cleaning me up individually so that I can begin to go ahead and do the very things that he wants done. You know, when we're walking out here in this world, we see all kinds of things, but we choose what we want to see, and we filter it in accordingly. And what we listen to, what we desire, and all of these things fill us. It's our choice what we're going to go ahead and take in, or our choice what we're going to go ahead and do. And I can see God beginning to work on each and every one of us, and it's like a two-edged sword that he has. He's cleaning out all of the garbage that we have taken in, cleaning the filters out, and then filling us with all the godly things that he wants us to have, to do, to be prepared for all the things that are coming down. It's a great work, but we have to desire it. We have to choose it. We have to ask God to fill us and begin to do all the things that are necessary to prepare us for the very things that you're talking about that are coming down, for the things that we need to do, because he uses each and every person, and what an honor it is to be born and alive and working for the Lord at this time.
Well, amen. And, you know, Pastor Ken, as I said, when I came on the radio today, I did not want to get into some of the things that we talked about. We've talked about them for such a long time. And it's very difficult when you look at stadiums filled with people and you see great victories and Christian success. And, you know, we love that. We embrace that. We receive the blessing and the understanding that when victories are accomplished and Jesus is exalted, you know, that's the purpose of our existence. And yet, yes, God is still going to allow the realities. You see, we can't be taken in by the delusion. We can't be taken in by the grand illusion, you know, that everything's okay. We are in something, and what we have a tendency to do is think that it's coming rather than it's already here, and multitudes are being blinded by the God of this world. And so hopefully what these words are doing is provoking, awakening in the life of every one of us, that there's a deeper work of the Spirit of God that must be accomplished in order for him to release us into what he wants to get done on the earth today. And so hopefully they're not hardening people's hearts, but they're provoking individuals to arise and shine, to get busy, to get diligent, to clean up, like you just said.
Pastor, when I was in college and I took courses on there, I took a lot of courses in sociology and psychology. Those were going to be needed for my major in police science that I was taking. And what was an interesting fact, I thought I knew a lot about it. The more I studied, the more I found out, the less I know. And isn't that about the same way with God? We think we know God, but as we delve in and begin to look within and see more and more, we find out that we really need a lot more help, a lot more work to clean out all the things that we've accumulated over the years. And that is something that it's a real blessing. So I encourage people to begin to delve in to the scriptures, into the Word of God, into listening to broadcasts like this one, where we begin to look and delve inside and find out, hey, I need some help in this area. I need to get this cleaned up. I didn't realize I was doing that. And that's what God does, but it's only if we desire it and only if we want it. And that's the choice, and that's why I encourage people to do those very things and to really get into the scriptures and get into the heart of God so we can really truly tell where we are.
Well, amen to that, Pastor Ken. And I'll tell you where we are right now. It is the fifth day of February 2018, and it's 15 degrees out here in northwest Arkansas, a little bit of snow on the ground. And it's a day to be lived. It's a moment to be lived within. Christ is within that moment. And we, God's people, should be getting ready to go out wherever we're going to be on this day and look for the signs of God's leading. Look for the direction of the Holy Spirit. Listen and pay attention to the wind of the Spirit of God. For those who were born again are like the wind. No one knows where it's coming from and no one knows where it's going. And we need to be released to the wind. We cannot be so established in our ways that we just were stuck in the rut. Every one of us has to lift up our tent pegs, if you will, and we need to be able to move on and follow the cloud of what God is doing in this hour, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically. And I really believe that this is the hour that we're in. If you're tuned into the broadcast, we've got about 10 minutes left. We would invite you to call in and join Pastor Ken Wagner and I for the few minutes we have together. The number to call is 818-369-0326. And then press the one on your dial pad. Again, we're getting numbers all over the world where people are tuning in. A lot of listeners in Africa on the Omega Radio Network. We want to thank everybody for those calls. But we have someone calling where they may be a little bit colder than where we are today. Good morning from South Dakota. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning. Yeah.
Good morning.
I have something to relate that the Lord revealed to me. In 2014, I was just sitting here in our living room, and I was meditating, talking to the Lord. And at that time, I said, Lord, what do you have for me and my husband at this time in life? And the Lord revealed to me, he said, the Spirit of God spoke to my mind and said, you have 2 years to work for me. And I thought, Lord, are you going to take me home? That's the first thought that came to me. And then the Spirit of the Lord quickened my mind and said, work while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work. And I thought, oh, God, this is amazing, Lord. Okay, and then as more meditation down the Lord and the things that Lord was revealing to me, and it was persecution. The Lord revealed to me, and I saw it especially for America. It was going to start. So that was 2015. And in 2016, I began to see how it started with laws. Then it was opening up to me, because it was coming through government at first, the persecution for Christians here in America that we've never experienced. And I thought, oh, God, it's unfolding. And now today, as you are reading this, what you read earlier, and it's all coming in different phases, and it's going to continually get worse until this Antichrist spirit is totally revealed. And but we're going through some persecution, apparently, is what the Lord was warning me about. And then I remember how God had, we had an opportunity, my husband and I, to travel in different places. And in 2005, we were in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and there was a man of God by the name of Rick Wildsett was living there at the time. And I called the office, and he had a ministry that was involved with a shortwave radio at the time. That's how I connected. Well, he says, come on over. So we sat in his office for 2.5 hours, like I said, around 2005. And my God, when I got out of there, the Lord had revealed things to him to tell us, and you know, about what God had been showing him. It was so beautiful and so revealing, but I had not the understanding then what I have now concerning the Word of God. So as we walked out, he says, I want to pray for you too before you leave. Oh, yeah, we said, yes, we'll take prayer. And as we're praying, the Lord spoke to me and said, you are with a watchman. And I told Rick, I said, Rick, well, we were praying, the Lord, show me your watchman. Oh, yes. He said, I've known that for years. So, you know, this contact that God gives people that truly are seeking him with their whole heart. It's like a network of people, and we're getting joined up with people because we're going to be of one mind and one spirit. And I believe God's doing that all over in America now, and I believe you're right. America is waking up, and God has also got his servants and his elect and remnant here, and they will be coming forth and doing those exploits like the Bible talks about.
Well, amen. What a great exhortation. And Kathy, it is so important for God's people to pray for ministries like Rick Wiles. You have to give honor to whom honor is due. And Rick's ministry is exploding. He was just over in Davos, Switzerland, and reported on things we would have never known had he not been there and had he not reported on it. Specifically, one of the scientists that were talking about artificial intelligence and the hacking of the human brain. My God, if you haven't seen that, you need to really look at that. These guys are atheists, and they are moving in the artificial intelligence, and Rick and his team were there. So we truly do bless that ministry and ask God to preserve and protect him, and just keep gleaning from the things that they're sharing. A great exhortation. We appreciate it. God is confirming either we're all nuts, which I don't think we are, or we're just on the verge of really seeing some things in the next level. I always call it like the next phase, the next cycle. And I believe that we just came out of a cycle of fires, mudslides, massive hurricanes, and shootings in Las Vegas, Baptist, 26 Christians shot and killed in Texas. You know, we just came out of a cycle of judgments. And these cycles, you can go all the way back. And you could see them going on since 9/11, 2001, particularly. You could just see the cycles. Well, I believe this next cycle, when it begins, it really is going to begin with that massive earthquake on the west coast of the United States. I think that's going to be the sign of the beginning of the next cycle of judgments. And time will tell. We'll see what happens. But God has warned at that time things will go into shaking because there's a prophetic word about when you see the massive earthquake in California. Here's a list of things that will follow. And we're talking now martial law. Now we're talking economic collapse. Now we're talking terrorism like we've never known before. Yes, it's a battleground. It's going to be a battleground. And I also believe that people like us, by the grace of God, have been under a protection. Because we're not saying, well, something's coming. It's already been here. We just have not, by the grace of God and the goodness of God, we haven't been touched by it. But others have been touched. Others have felt the pressure. Others are experiencing things. Our world is changing in such a dramatic way, and we just need to be ready. Go ahead. Final thoughts between both you and Pastor Ken.
Okay. The word phase, that's what the Lord showed me for 2018. I was seeking the Lord, and I said, God, what are we going to have happening in the earth in 2018? And the Holy Spirit impressed on me again, and he said, this is what it was, thoughts. This is the last phase. The word phase stood out before everything is done. And then we go into the coming of the Lord, and then, and how long that phase is going to be, I don't know. It didn't come to me. But anyway, we come into that, and then Jesus, it's the return, and he will come and rule and reign. But we got a ways to go here, but we have to be faithful unto the end.
Amen. And he who endures to the end shall be saved. Pastor Ken, a final word before we have to go today.
Isaiah 55, verse 6. This is out of the Amplified on here. Seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while he may be found. Claiming him by necessity and by right, call upon him while he is still near. Wake up, people.
Wake up. That is the call of the day. Wake up. All right, we've got time for one more call. If you've been listening to the broadcast and you have a minute, you want to share something, press 1 on the dial pad. I'll bring you right in. You could share your thoughts. Nothing is wasted on these programs. Nothing. Let's take this call coming in from area code 219. I've been waiting for this call all morning, Brother Don. How are you?
Good. How are you, Pastor?
Good. I'm sorry you're called at the last moments, but talk to us. What's on your heart, sir?
Well, I want to tell you something now. I heard what you said today, and it just convicted me so badly. It just, I could hardly speak. But I want to tell you something happened to me about 1 o'clock this morning. I was sleeping, and my dog was in the room with me. And about 1 o'clock, I wake up to this mournful howl. I've never heard a dog ever do that before, not one of my dogs. And I jumped up and I turned the flashlight and I saw him. He was just laying there as if nothing happened. And I laid down and the Spirit spoke to me very very strongly. And I said, Father, what is this? What is that sound? Why would that dog do that? And the Spirit spoke to me and he said, this will be the sound of the people of this land from this day forth. That mournful, suffering howl. And I could not deny what the Spirit told me. And I just wanted to share that with you. And it went right along with what you talked about today.
Yeah. It's there. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness will be taken away, and the voice of mourning, howling, lamentation will be heard in the land. Don, thanks for calling. Sorry we ran out of time. That is profound. We're going to have to run right now. We'll pick it up on another day. And up next right now is Patricia Joy Xavier. She's going to be sharing with us out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And I've got to do something a little bit special to give it a, let me do it this way. This is just a little bit of a break to bring her into the broadcast. Let's see how it goes.
Hello. What a grand opening. We are so grateful for what God is doing in our lives, each and every one of us. I believe what you are hearing by the Holy Spirit from God's heart is a wake-up call. And that was confirmed by Pastor Ken. But I believe we now are entering into the great awakening. We are beginning to be awakened to the truth of God's purpose and will for our lives. I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with the pastor Vincent Xavier. And oh, those words from God were so incredible. I'm telling you, body of Christ, you are hearing things that very few will have opportunity to hear. And you need to thank God that he has put you in the right place at the right time with the right people. And today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And you know what God wants us to do is to be captive free. If we're not captive free, how are we going to know? How are we going to become what God has called us to be and what his heart cry is? Now let us continue to look at how we can be free from all bondage. This is what we have written in the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. It's the reason I wrote it in the first place. And after reading chapters 1 and 2, we're about ready to go into the third. But after reading chapters 1 and 2 about casting out devils, I hope you now understand and are convinced that a Christian can be plagued by a demonic presence within his soul. Folks, it's within the soul realm that the activity takes place. And furthermore, we are to acquire the knowledge for this great awakening of how to fight the good fight with the power and the authority given to us in his name, which is above every name. Ignorance, an invitation for Satan to inflict punishment upon us. and to torment us. You know what the word says, my people perish from a lack of knowledge. Well, knowledge is being presented today. The word of God and prophetic utterance is being presented today. But it is up to us to discern what is true and what is not true. It is up to us not to be deceived in this hour. For many voices are out there claiming one thing and another. But God will bless those who are truly hearing his voice and not being led by a spirit of deception in prophetic utterance or any other way. The fact that you are a Christian does not exempt you from these unlawful attacks and the following afflictions that we will have if we do not learn how to fight the good fight. And we are about to learn every aspect of fighting the good fight with the power and the authority given to us in his name. And the common symptoms that I brought up the last time I was on radio, and that was Friday, we are now closely examining the pattern of the common symptoms inflicted by these indwelling spirits of darkness. So if you want to know whether or not you have been inflicted by an evil spirit, let's go beyond psychology into the realm of the spirit where all things move and have positioned themselves, evil and good. The warfare is on, and it is in the spiritual realm we're going to take a look at. Let's first look at emotional problems. People who are in need of deliverance, we talked about this, will have continual recurrences of the spirits of hatred. We talked about this Friday. And they will have continuous reoccurrences of anger and fear and rejection. Examine your heart and see if you're in this. We were told to see by examination of the heart, if we are in the right way or the wrong way. A feeling of being unwanted and unloved is an emotional problem. Self-pity and jealousy and envy and selfishness and unforgiveness and guilt is an emotional problem. And you know what it brings to all? Condemnation. Depression, worry, inferiority and insecurity. I will later explain that all of these devil spirits, and they are spirits, bring with them lesser spirits, which are under order to kill and destroy. This devil came to do what? To kill and destroy. He came as a roaring lion to do so, and he does it through deception and people we have bought the lie. We have bought the lie from one generation to the next. And now we are being set free by the truth, because only the truth will set us free. As I said so often, psychology can show you the problem, but it could only put a Band-Aid over the problem, because the problem reaches into the soul realm. Those tentacles go deep. And the Holy Spirit that you have received, if you have received the Holy Spirit, will be the very answer to your problem. It will pluck out every demonic spirit that has taken its position, not only in your life, but in your forefathers. You see, the sins of the parents are visited upon the children up to the third and fourth generation. And what we're talking about here is bloodline curses. And as I said so often, even the doctors understand such things because they want to know your family's history if you have a problem and you're under examination by them. So let's get a little smarter and go beyond psychology into the realm of the spirit. The next thing that you will be inflicted upon with is mental problems. Emotional problems are one thing. Mental problems are another. And what we call mental problems are, in reality, an attack of demonic spirits of mental torment. This is what causes mental problems. And it shows itself in procrastination. Check your heart in these areas. Are you a person who procrastinates in getting things done? I was that way. And I still am to an extent. I have to fight that demonic presence. And I know where it comes from. I have seen it in my generational bloodline. And it is a demonic presence that I have received. And I am ready to fight that thing altogether because we have no time for procrastination. The time is now to rise up. The time is now to become victorious in Christ Jesus. Indecision. Mental problems also causes indecision. I don't know if I want to do this or that. Should I go this way or that way? The Holy Spirit can tell you. If you are truly directed by the Holy Spirit, there won't be indecision anymore in your life. You will be directed by the light of the Holy Spirit. He becomes a lamp unto your feet according to the word of God. Indecision is a problem, and we can't afford that. We can't afford not deciding properly and rightfully and coming into confusion. Indecision is a mental problem of confusion. And the Lord told me, and he told you through his word, he has not given us the spirit of confusion. That comes from the enemy. That's double-mindedness. And if you are double-minded, you can't ask him and get it according again to the word of God. So if you're an indecisive person, let's get on with the work of the Holy Spirit, believing in him within us. And if you haven't received him, please open your heart to say, Holy Spirit, come and direct my path. Show me. Give me understanding and knowledge that I need. Let me have the wisdom of God. Let me understand those things that are before me. Only Father knows what truly is before me. Oh, we can go to fortune tellers, but they're deceptive because they're led by the evil spirits. But we have a spirit of holiness and truth if we have received the Holy Spirit into our life. So examine your heart for indecision, procrastination, and then there's compromise. And you know God will not receive compromise because it confuses us. We have a foot in one part of the world and a foot in another part of the world. We are riding the fence. We are compromising in our walk. We have said we love God and we want to continue in his way, but we compromise for selfish desires and reasons. Let's check our heart in that, because that too brings a double-mindedness. And then we can't ask anything of the Father and receive it. Double-mindedness is a double-minded spirit. And what does it do? It causes, again, confusion. And confusion and doubt and irrationalism. We can't rationalize rightfully. We're irrational in our thoughts and understanding. And then insanity will come upon us. And that is a very dangerous spirit and a loss of memory. These are spirits that are caused by mental problems, or mental problems are caused by the spirit. It goes both ways. And so we need to understand and take a look deep within our hearts. None of these things that were mentioned are necessary for you and I. If we know Christ and are led by his spirit, we don't have to be indecisive. We don't have to be compromising anymore. Those days are over. No more compromise. No more double-mindedness and confusion and doubt. No more insanity, because that's what it all brings. So we do have to examine our heart for mental problems and emotional problems, as was mentioned earlier, to see if we are truly in the way of righteousness and that narrow road that very few come by. And then there are tongue problems. And if you want to know more about these things, they are written in my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, that you could buy and purchase on Amazon. And we can do this together over the airwaves. And we can bind the spirit who believes it controls the airwaves. And we can say, no more will you. For the airwaves will be taken over by a righteous people a people who know the Lord, not people who are liars, deceivers, and speaking lies, as we see so often and hear about so often on the airwaves. So then there are tongue problems we have to look at. The uncontrolled use of the tongue causes us difficulty and trouble all the time, especially in close family relationships. These include lying, cursing, blasphemy, criticism about others, mockery, railing, getting angry and just railing on and on, gossip, and negative comments. They need deliverance. Those who are bound by a tongue problem. Tongue is a fiery dart. That's what it tells us in James. The Bible tells us in James that the tongue is a fiery dart, and out of it will come good or evil. Out of it will come truth or lies. Out of it will become the very essence of who you are, the tongue, and what you speak. And what you speak is in your heart. And if it is in your heart to lie or to curse or to blaspheme or criticize or mock or rail or gossip or come out with all kind of negative comments because you're a negative individual, it's in your heart. And your heart needs redemption. It needs healing. It needs deliverance. If you call yourself a Christian and find yourself in bondage to these things that I'm mentioning, you're in trouble and you need deliverance. You need to be healed. You need to be restored. You need to be made right and correct before the living God so he can use you mightily in the days we are in, so that you can be the overcomer that we have called to be. We have been called to be an overcomer. How often have you heard it in the book of Revelation? He who overcomes, I will. He's looking for you. He's looking for me. He's looking for those who will say, I will become an overcomer. An overcomer in the day in which we're in. I will overcome the evil one, the world, and the flesh. I will rise up because I have been granted the right to do so by the sacrifice of the shed blood of Jesus. He has made it available to me. My sins are forgiven. I am a new creature in Christ. I now rise up to the person I should be and could have been if I knew earlier what to do. But I know now. And now is the time of my full redemption. I'm heading for it. I'm grabbing for it. And then there are sexual problems. This is just as huge in this day and age and always has been from the fall of Adam, but it's growing in momentum. It's growing in strength. And this is where even pastors are being pulled down, being brought down to the depths of hell. Sexual problems. These are always patterned after reoccurring unclean thoughts and acts regarding sex. They include fantasies, dwelling on the erotic, masturbation and lust and perversion, anal and oral sex, homosexuality, sodomy, fornication, adultery, incest, provocativeness, seduction, harlotry, and those who have been involved with these things are as like Sodom and Gomorrah. And these are difficult demons to be cast off, but they are to be cast off. And we have been given the authority and the right and the power to do so in Jesus Christ, who overcame these demonic presence on the cross, who wiped the entire earth with Satan and said, no more, Satan. I have taken all of your filth upon myself, that now those who believe on me could be made clean and holy and pure. I overcame you on the cross, Satan, says the Lord. And I went to hell and took the keys to the kingdom of God. And those that are mine now will rise up above all these filthy, unclean spirits, in which have not only contaminated the world, but kept my people in bondage. The time is over for you. And we, the body of Christ, the church, will rise up as we never have before. With the power and might we have been granted through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, by that powerful DNA within us, the Holy Spirit cleansing us, making us holy, making us righteous, making us all that God has called us to be, being transformed into His image and not our own. Hallelujah. Can you think of anything greater and better? This will bring such peace to your heart. This will bring such gladness to your being. You won't know or understand what hit you when you truly get a hold of it, because in believing you become all that He called us to be. And He called us to be transformed into His likeness, into His image, by the power of the Holy Spirit living within you, living within me, becoming the people of God, the army of God, strengthened, made whole, perfected, meaning being mentally secure, being not a people who have been devastated by the lies of Satan any longer, not deceived, being made mature from rising. We have been put into the realm of the Spirit, where all righteousness stands and the holiness of God is there. Receive it unto yourself. If you receive Christ as your personal Savior, if you have said, yes, fill me, O Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit that you've granted unto us, that you've sent unto us, that the Father may rejoice in us as His children. He will empower. He will make us great. Great in His image. Not in our own. In our own we offer nothing. But the power has been given. The power has been granted. Take hold of it and believe with all your heart. This is a time like no other time. We will rejoice. We will be glad in all that He has offered us. We will say yes to the Holy One. We will say yes to our Lord Jesus. We will rejoice in all He has granted unto us and given us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is our time. It is our time. So emotional problems will be put under the blood of Christ, and we shall be delivered from all that have attacked us with tongue problems, with sexual problems. And then there are addictions that the evil one has perpetrated against the church. And of course, he has taken the world by a whole. The Bible tells us that the world will be seduced by all the seductions of sorcery. And sorcery, translated, means the seduction of pharmaceutical drugs and street drugs. That is what it means, pharmakia. And that is the evil work of the enemy today against our children and against the lives of multitudes of young people and even those that have been involved for years and years and years. Addictions, the most common addictive spirits are nicotine, most common. And by the way, the hardest to overcome, believe that or not. And then there is alcohol. And various types of natural and synthetic drugs, so-called medications, caffeine, and foods. They're all addictive. Gambling and pornography, all addictive. Very addictive. And the enemy uses those demonic spirits. They are the spirits that have been brought through family normally. Family bloodline curses, and they are cohorts, and they are familiar spirits going from generation to generation. And these addictive spirits are very difficult to get rid of, but not by the power of the Holy Spirit. not by the power of God through deliverance. I'm telling you, these infirmities are able to be broken over your life if you would just believe, by the power of deliverance through the Holy Spirit. And then there is physical infirmities. But going back to the addictions, let's examine our hearts. If we have been involved with the addictive spirits of nicotine and alcohol and synthetic drugs and medications and caffeine and foods and gambling and pornography, let's get rid of them. We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so. Let's get rid of them now. Let's cast them out in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us make a command that they cannot return. Let us bind them and strike them with the blood of Jesus, so no longer are they a part of our lives. We can be set free. We don't have to go to organized organizations that will say, I'll help you through this. The Spirit of God is there to do so. If you would only believe with all your heart and mind that God is quite able. He is able. He's already overcome all things on the cross, Jesus our Lord. He can overcome every addiction within our lives. If we would call upon him and we would say to the enemy, resist him and speak to him and say, no more, it's over. I cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke you. I command you severed from my life this very day. Loose me and set me free, evil spirits. Oh, you cohorts, from generation to generation, familiar spirits, no longer will you dwell in me and no longer will you keep me in bondage. I am set free from prison. I am walking out today. Believe it and do it. And then go back to my book. If you have any difficulties, then go through it again and again until you understand the power that you have been granted in the Holy Ghost. And then there are the physical infirmities, diseases, and sicknesses, and afflictions on people, and all so-called infirmities in the Bible. They're there. They're there. These physical infirmities can be cast out. Each and every one of us can be loosed from them. All diseases and sicknesses must leave that have been inflicted on God's people. And they are called infirmities in the Bible. You have to learn the language so that you understand what words to speak against the evil ones, because they're the very ones that Jesus Christ spoke. The very ones that Jesus has said to evil when he walked the face of the earth and set the captives free. Why not us? He said, what I do, you shall do also, even greater, because I go to the Father and I send my Holy Spirit to you, the Holy Spirit. When a devil of any disease and sickness is cast out, you need to pray for healing of the damage and the restoration to a healthy body. After casting out whatever sickness has bound you and whatever generational bloodline curses of your forefathers have come upon you, when you pray for healing of that damage done to your body, you must also pray for the restoration to a healthy body. Again, it's in my book to read. If you forget, please purchase it. Receive it for yourself. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, that you may go through these things that have been written and become set free and help others to become set free. This is what deliverance is all about. And in the day and age we're in, it is absolutely necessary to do so. And then we have been bound by religious errors, objects or devices such as crystals and pyramids and idolatry attract devils into the dwellings of who we are. More will be spoken about that tomorrow. But let me tell you that when we go into religious errors and objects or devices that have been used, such as crystals and pyramids, and idolatry, statues, they do attract devils into dwellings and, of course, to the dwellings of the occupants. And I'm going to talk about common sources of errors that are documented, and they are so available today in this world and growing in strength, even in the church. There is such deception going on about these objects and devices being used that it is a heartbreak. It is a heartbreak that it hasn't been overcome by the body of Christ. And yet, it is growing now within the churches. The great deceptions are upon us. We're going to talk about these great tomorrow, and we are going to name them, and hopefully you will see as they really are, and you will be aware of what to stay far away from. And if you have questions regarding what you have heard, and if you wish to order my book, what you need to do is just go to Amazon online, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. It will, I promise you, transform your life. Also, email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. I will be happy to answer any question you have if you doubt anything that I have said or you believe that I'm in error. I would love to hear from you. I would love to speak about it. In the meantime, may God bless you. May he keep you whole. May he deliver you from every bond. May he deliver you from any deception that you have been in. May he open the doors of the imprisonment of the mind that you have taken into your being, into your soul. And may you be set free altogether, spirit, mind, and body. God bless you. In Jesus Christ's name.